1 John chapter 3, verse 1, where John is writing about the fact that we are children of God and that we should love one another. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, don't let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning, because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Don't be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Don't be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death because we love our brothers. Anyone who doesn't love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. May the Lord give us insight to his word. We pray, Father, that your still small voice may speak to our hearts, that you will speak from your word and show us again your love and your challenge for our lives. Amen. John's theme throughout his letters, and indeed in his gospel, is that God is love. And some of you are old enough to remember a certain interview with a newly engaged royal couple. And the photographer rather foolishly asked them, "Are you in love?" And she said, "Yes, of course." And he said, "Yes, whatever love is." Doomed. We knew that was doomed at that point, didn't we? And the question is, what is love? We often bandy around that God is love and we sing to him of love, but what does it mean? Well, according to the dictionary, it's an intense feeling of deep affection and a great interest and pleasure in something. And that's exactly how God feels about each one of us. An intense feeling of deep affection. Have we ever thought that God, who made everything, who decided there are so many different types of daffodils, should actually have a deep affection for us and a great interest and a pleasure in what we are doing and what's happening to us. And God is love personified. We know that his love is boundless and undeserving. It's like the love first felt when a newborn baby is put into your arms. The baby hasn't done anything to deserve your love. It hasn't stopped crying. It hasn't been nice to you. It's just there. It just is. And that's the kind of love that God shows to you and me. We don't deserve it. It's just because he's made us and we're his. And his love is faithful and unchanging. We know that he may change, that we may change, but he won't. One of my friends said, we were in our 20s then, she said, when I was a little child, my parents were absolutely wonderful. And then when I got to be a teenager, they started being really stubborn and awkward, and I couldn't do anything with them. And now I'm in my 20s, they are getting better again. And the question is, who moved? And we know that it was not the parents, but the child. Even if we go far from him, God's love is still faithful and unchanging. His love is still there. And he loves us and he cares for us. He watches over us as we look back and see he guided us in the right way, even if we couldn't see it at the time. And even if it didn't take us at the time where we intended we would go. I do remember it was 1979, the end of 1979, and I was actually being interviewed for posts of deputy head. And there was one that I went to, and it was quite obvious that because I was the only person qualified in any way, that they were going to offer it to me. And I felt very strongly that I should turn it down, so I did. And of course, 6 months later, I was pregnant. Tony's father had had a major stroke, and his parents had come to live with us, and life was completely turned upside down. So God knew that I couldn't cope with that. And then we're also, and looking back, although I might think I didn't have a career, I know that God has guided, even if we can't see the way. And then that love is also forgiving. As John says, we all sin. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. How often do we see the sheep sort of blindly following one another round the field? And how much even more like children? In the boarding house, I can remember in one house meeting, one of the girls saying, "Well, if you tell us not to do that, Mrs. Lloyd, we'll have to do it." And sometimes we get a bit like that with God. We push the limits. But you don't stop caring and you don't stop loving. Two of our wonderful friends in one church, when they retired, and they retired quite late, but they then took up caring for people who were had mental problems of one kind or another, or doing daycare for people who'd had strokes. And one lady that they were sent to was very much a recluse. And one day, Audrey went and knocked on the door and said, "Hello." And the lady said, "I didn't think you'd ever come again." And Audrey said, "Why not?" And she showed her the newspaper. And this newspaper had identified this lady as being Ian Brady's mother, the Moors murderer. And she was overwhelmed that Jack and Audrey would still want to know her and still visit her. And sadly, although she went to visit Ian Brady, he wouldn't see her or speak to her at all. You don't stop loving a child, whatever it does. But we don't continue to sin as Christians. We know that we can claim the forgiveness of God. That doesn't mean we can do whatever we like. We have a way out of sin because Christ has died and borne our sins. But in the same way, just as we're not to ask for absolutely anything, we ask within the privilege of knowing what God likes in our lives. You know, when little Lily comes, I notice she always goes and asks Helen if she can have another biscuit or another cake. But we have had little girls come who've gone to several different people and asked if they could have a biscuit and ended up with three or four biscuits or cakes. And we know that Helen is watching over Lily and making sure that what she eats is the best for her. And in the same way, whatever we're doing, we should refer to God and seek his guidance and his helps. And Jesus challenges us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 that thoughts of sin are just as bad as giving in to sin. And so we need to make sure that we are absolutely rooted in the Holy Spirit to guide us and show us right conduct. And because we know God's love, and because he loves us, and because we seek to love him, we're to love one another as well. And we're to show our love, not just in words, but in actions. I had this is an email I had from Carrie yesterday. She's on a mission in New York. And there was one bit of it that I thought was incredible. Today we fed 350 homeless people and are staying at the Bowery Mission tonight to serve another few hundred tomorrow. This is my baby with the homeless in New York. Two of the staff members were healed from pain in their right rotators, which I presume is some part of your body, not a garden instrument. Another healed of knee pain. A cab driver was so encouraged to see kind people in New York City, he's joining our encounter tonight. One student had a word for a staff member's nephew, which left him in tears and running to call him on the phone. So touched that God looked at the details. So proud of the students and their hard work. Love isn't just prophetic, it's also practical. And it's that practical that can touch people, the kindness, the way in which they don't expect street pastors to really care or be there. And they ask, well, why are you doing this? And do you want to tell people about it? Okay. We've got time.
Yes, we were definitely going out and showing our love to folk on the streets last night. We haven't seen the police around, so we thought that's good. And then we suddenly saw them in All Saints with an ambulance. So we went up to the policeman and said, what's happened? Has someone been hit? He said, yes, someone was assaulted and they're receiving treatment now. Well, we went a bit later on. We went outside Willoughby's, which of course is where it usually kicks off. And so we were talking to a few folk. And suddenly, we heard this thud behind us, and then there was this young man down on the floor. He'd outside with the blood coming from his head, and so we told the security guards, and they came and took him in and got their first aider. And then while that was happening, another young lady was actually carried out by security because she was too drunk to stay in there. The only trouble was she hadn't got a bag with her, and she was so drunk she didn't know where she'd left it. She couldn't remember what colour it was. So we tried to sober her up a bit by giving her some water and a lolly. And we don't actually know what happened in the end. And then while that was happening, another young lady came up, and she said she hadn't got the money to get home from the taxi. She could get it in the ATM, but the card wouldn't accept it at the moment, and didn't know how she was going to get home. And this was all in a little group together. Anyway, God provided for that because Judith Wade's granddaughter happened to be just outside. And she said, well, where do you live? And when she told me, she said, oh, that's just around the corner from me. If you're happy to wait, we can share a taxi. So that was sorted. And then this person who'd asked about, trying to get home, she actually started ministering to this other young lady. And she said, I can help because I've been in that situation so many times. gradually, she managed to get more and more out of her by laying down and being really patient with her and getting to, it said, if it, was it there? Was it there? Put your thumb up if it is. And I don't know, I was surprised. I thought perhaps she'd been taught counselling, but she said she hasn't. She's a beautician, actually. But she certainly helped this person. But But obviously the Lord had provided, putting that due this granddaughter there just at the right place and being able to sort things out, and she was on the phone to help. So we're not quite sure how it finished up in the end, but everyone was being looked after. But and that's apart from, of course, clearing up loads and loads of glass, so they didn't handing out the shoes so they could wear the flip-flops. Yeah, so it was an interesting night. kept us busy. Oh yes, we handed out quite a few lollipops. Well, not so many lollipops last night, fully enough. It was a different night last night. You never know what it's going to bring. But anyway, we were able to show God's love to those folk. Well, you say that a lot of the fair was already in Red Lion Square and in the meadows. I didn't think they normally let them in until Sunday, but they were all there. They were filling Red Lion Square already. So, yeah. Anyway, okay.
Thank you. That's love in action, you see, and obviously desperately needed. And shall we pray for those young people? Father, we do pray for these young people that John met last night. We pray for the girls that you'll give them safety, and we pray that you'll undertake in the problems that they face, that they may remember the kindness that they met here, and ask that you will speak to them themselves. Amen. And we do need more street pastors, so if anyone's feeling like taking it up, there's a new training course coming off, isn't there? And there's one Saturday this month that they can't put anybody out. Or was that last month? That was last month, wasn't it?
I think most months we actually one Saturday.
Yes.
We're going to have doing fair week. One
yes, so pray for them as they do fair week as well. So our attitudes matter, and our actions matter even more. We need to show love for those around us. And our actions, we're not meant to be popular. We may be rejected, but we do need to show God's love to the world. We need to believe and to have the right action as we reach out. Amen.